As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
They've got some offensive talent, obviously, by the kind of goal scoring they have. You wonder how their situation will change next year, how the coaching situation will change, management, or whatever. But at this particular point, this ensures that the Leafs will finish no worse or no better
than
29th.
Joe Bowen, the final call of tonight's game, he's kind of verbalizing the conundrum of everything that's gone on. Yes, it was a 5-1 loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets. As welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Todd Alusco on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. But the conundrum is, and we were a part of the conundrum, I don't think we've ever in Toronto, because the new lottery concept, Todd, is year one. Like, been cheering goals against the Leafs. I'm speaking on behalf of Leaf fans.
Yeah.
And cheering, as Joe Bowen says, a 5-1 loss, because now you can do no worse than second worst overall or 29th in the league. And it's just very strange, I got to be honest with you. So anyway, it was a 5-1 win for the Columbus Blue Jackets. It was irrelevant. People should get a free ticket as they go on the way out or something.
That's a good.
It just was understood. It's like a preseason game in the regular season. And to the Maple Leafs' credit, as we kind of do our walk to the subway segment, kicking it off, they have made it compelling since the trade deadline, since they were killed by injury, since they made a number of trades. Like, the young players have offered some hope and made some compelling hockey, but this week really is playing out the string, and this last home game of the season really exemplified it.
Oh, 100%. I mean, listen, we knew what was going to happen this year. We knew they weren't going to be great, and it sucks because you want to try to be surprised. You want to go into this season thinking that there's going to be some major surprises, and maybe this whole team gives you some hope, and they're battling for a playoff with maybe 10 games. Listen, it didn't happen this year. I like to change this whole evening from a 5-1 loss where, you know, it's disheartening, these guys are off. Let's talk about the good things that are going to happen from this point forward, because there is going to be a lot of good things. Number one, the draft lottery. The worst that they could possibly pick right now, I believe, is going to be fifth, right? If they didn't win any of the spots, the first three, the worst they will pick will be number five.
Yeah, right? Last year they picked fourth.
Sure. So let's concentrate on the good things. The kids that are going to come up. William Nylander has shown a lot of progress. He's got some things to work on this year. In the off season and stuff, he'll be back. He's going to be better next year. The Zach Hyman's that went back down, he's going to be back. There's a lot of really good things for this team to build off of. And I know that, you know, I'm the one guy, you know, we're watching tonight and Toronto scores the first goal, and I go, what are they doing? And as I'm as big a fan as anyone, I want to see this Toronto Maple Leaf team do well. But with these last remaining games, they're nothing games. I think what's going on right now, they're still showing a good effort. They're going out there. They played hard tonight. But at the end of the day, this is not a bad situation for Toronto. This is where they want to be right now. Give us the best opportunity to get the best possible player as we move forward. But let's not dwell on the negative tonight. Let's dwell on the positive moving forward from, you know, there's two games left, to what's going to happen in the offseason, and guys will be coming back. Let's try to do that. I don't know. It's going to be difficult, but I'd like to try to do that.
Well, we, of course, welcome phone lines, and like Todd Alusco's mantra, let's hear from you on that. I mean, there's nothing to say about the game tonight.
No.
There's absolutely nothing to say about the game tonight. You're saying don't take calls? Or you got a guess to me? Sorry. Okay. 870-0590. No, it didn't know, Matt, if you had a guest or not. That's all I meant. 870-0590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Again, a 5-1 loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Okay, let's start digging the positives. And I will say, for one, I feel like I'm in like a intervention or something like that.
Yeah.
But this is the first time of the last 3 years that this was expected, right? The last 2 years. based on the 2012 playoff run, going to seven games, having that lead and all that, that memorable game, which is now 4 years ago, it is, yeah, so you can say, you know, my name is Gord, and I expected this. Thank you. So that's basically it. Well, this is what was advertised and promised, so we knew there'd be some pain, and was the how was the pain for you? Maybe that's the thing. Like, you expected some pain. Is it right? You've got Todd McClellan and Mike Babcock, the two biggest name coaches in the offseason, coaching the two teams that are vying for 30th place.
Yeah, that's an interesting stat.
So you might as well have my mom and my Aunt Peggy this year anyway.
You could have. But it's all about developing the culture.
Absolutely.
For the guys that are here, right?
So I get it.
You know, my positive, Gord, on this one is you ship out Dion Phaneuf, and all of a sudden you give Morgan Rielly basically that leadership on the back end with Jake Gardner. So these two guys started spearheading the back end, getting a lot of ice time. Martin Marincin comes out of nowhere, starts playing a ton of ice as well. But, you know, you get another glimpse tonight of what Morgan Rielly can kind of do. On that first Toronto Maple Leaf goal, a nice little drop pass by Freddie Gauthier, Morgan Rielly shows the type of offense that he can bring this Maple Leaf team. And another year of maturity in the league, this kid's going to come back in. I would predict that Morgan Rielly will probably make the jump to the World Championships this year with Team Canada. Then I do believe that he'll probably be on that. Well, he is on the Young Stars team in the World Cup. So having that type of experience under this kid's belt is only going to make him better. I would predict maybe a Jake Gardner goes for Team USA to the World Championships. It's going to give him a little bit more time. Listen, these kids are, every single year, they're going to get better. And this year they tore it down. They really did tear it down, and they didn't go half-ass with this. So it's down. We knew what was going to happen. There's young guys that got a lot of ice time. Over the summertime, they're going to be doing some serious training. They're going to be getting better. We're going to have Marner's going to be up here. Who knows if he's going to make the team. Nylander, all these guys next year, we're going to see a completely different team, I believe. And it's going to be up to Lou to try to bring in veteran players that are going to help complement these young guys as they move forward. But you've got to be happy with the back end. The back end is what I'm looking at. Morgan Rielly, more than anybody, this guy is going to mold into I believe, a top 10 defenseman in the National Hockey League within the next couple of years.
And by the way, we will be taking a look. Two big games out of town. The Edmonton game just ending. They end the farewell to Rexall Center in good fashion, a 6-2 win over the Vancouver Canucks, which also means the Leafs now are dead last by themselves. So 6-2 win for Edmonton, and we'll talk about the Detroit-Philadelphia game, which has some serious playoff implications. Again, 870-0590, *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Sorry, Matt, remind me again, our first caller is Steve from where? Steve in beautiful Port Perry. Hey, Steve.
Perfect. Good evening, Gord. I was just telling your great producer about the Dominion story when you worked at Dominion.
That's right. Finch and Leslie. That's right. Yeah.
I got to tell you, Gord, I was telling him, and I heard Todd, let's be positive, but it's showing my age. It's really hard to fathom that this great organization is even sitting in this position, and that we're hoping that they lose so we get a good draft pick. I just find it, and there's no one to blame with the current regime, but I guess moving forward, for Todd's sake, I'll try not to be negative. So I was asking your producer, the worst we can pick is 5, correct?
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, Edmonton wins tonight, so you go bottomed out. Right now, it'd be disappointing to pick 5. Be very disappointing. But yes,
that is
the worst you could pick is 5. Which, by the way, last year they picked 4th.
Worst scenario would be we're going to get one of the top five. Worst scenario is 5. Obviously, 1's the best. Could you give me? Your producer sort of filled me in on it, but could you tell me about the 5 top picks in the junior rankings right now?
Well, the big 4 are, you've got, of course, Austin Matthews, you've got the 2 Finns, and you've got Tkachuk, right, are the big 4. Okay. And then it gets debatable. And actually,
Jacob Chychrun is in there,
yeah,
defenseman.
But also, it's some of the guys, like, again, I go, I don't want to start going way back, but like when Lou Lamoriello took Billy Guerin 5th overall when he was projected a lot lower. I mean, these kinds of things. So when you start getting to 4, 5, 6, 7, there could be somebody that a team may be sweet on that isn't the consensus, isn't those consensus guys. So, you know, number one, you got a better chance of getting a Connor McDavid type, right? And number four, you got a better chance of getting a Mitch Marner type, like last year, basically.
And the two Finns, Jesse Puljujärvi and Patrick Laine, I mean, these guys are both solid NHL players as well. That's the thing. You wanted to finish in the top five, and that's what they've done right now. They've guaranteed themselves one of those guys in there.
Well, a few years ago. Yeah, Steve, yeah.
These five that we're talking about, and I said it to your producer, but I'd like to ask you, were these guys, if we drafted or when we get them, what are they NHL ready, or are they going to do the Marley route?
Austin Matthews is. The other guys, the Finns, I don't know. Lou Lamoriello is not big, so whether they are or aren't, I'm sure Lou's going to keep him back another year. I don't know. I think he is, unless it's Austin Matthews. I think Lou Lamoriello, that's been his MO. Again, to draw a more recent comparable. Again, we're putting so much hope on this draft pick. This draft pick really isn't going to factor in so much next year. But you just look at that recent draft where the top three guys were McKinnon, Jones, you know, that draft. And you had Drouin. And it was Florida that was a little bit of surprise taking Barkov second overall, which turns out to be a great pick. And Drouin's still in the minors. So that's a third overall pick that still hasn't, you know, come about. So there's always a little bit of a crapshoot that way. Steve, thanks very much for the call. Great catching up. So that's my days in Dominion at Finch and Leslie. So I had a big Dominion button and it said, Dominion stands for quality or my name isn't. And then you don't think Gord.
That's awesome.
That was it. Yeah. Beautiful. Hey, not there anymore, by the way.
it's not there. Gord, for the other guy I was going to say, that's going to be a dark horse in this draft. I mean, it's going to be debated now for the next little while. Everyone's going to be wondering who they're going to pick in. But Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's in Cape Breton right now, he's a 6'1", 181-pound centerman. He is the top-rated Canadian in the draft right now. This kid's garnering a lot of attention. I mean, he's been suspended. He had a hit from behind. He's currently suspended in the playoffs right now. But this kid's got a lot of gumption about him as well. So, you know, if you're looking for centers, which that's Toronto, is they would love to get a centerman. A guy like Pierre-Luc Dubois, maybe someone that they're interested in. If they don't get the number one overall pick, it's going to be interesting to see if they want to move down in the draft. I don't imagine it would. In order to get a centerman that may not be ranked so high where they can maybe get a couple more picks. But I agree with you wholeheartedly about this. Whoever they do get in this upcoming draft isn't going to make a difference next year. And that's not what we're thinking about. We're looking for 2-3 years down the road, a guy that can, like you said, Austin Matthews would step in next year. Patrick Laine, I really think this guy could step in next year. He's 6'4", he's 210. He showed what he could do in the World Championships. But at the end of the day, you're right, Gord, there's a bunch of guys right now that Toronto has that are going to need a couple years to develop. We don't know what's going to happen next year with this team in terms of where they're going to finish, how they're going to compete. But you have to be somewhat happy with the talent level that they do have that they're going to build. I mean, it's so tough to be positive at this stage of the season right now. But what I am going to be positive about is they do have prospects that are coming that played this year that looked good. You know, they've got to get better. But the fact that they can get a top pick right now and the worst they can pick right now is 5th overall, I think that is something positive to focus on.
Well, we got a good theme and we have to take a break, but we'll continue on that theme when we come back. And by the way, we will go at times to the Edmonton Oilers post-game ceremony. Those are always great, closing the Rexall Place 5 Stanley Cup banners. And we'll cut to that live when certain guys that are important, or we feel important, are chatting. 5-1, the Columbus Blue Jackets defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. The home season mercifully ends. We look to the future. We look to being positive. Leafs Nation post-game. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Breaking down the game in a fanatic, obsessive, bordering on unhealthy manner. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Brandon Saad brings it back the other way, and a goal scores! Broken up there, fed off on the right wing side, Dubinsky to the net, he scores! Scores! Oh my, off the faceoff! Wrist shot into the chest of Sparks after a couple of good saves, the backhand scores! Trying to drive the net, Matt Culvert, spinning, still has it, centers a right shot, scores! And Dubinsky has made it 5-1.
Joe Bowen, he never gives it up. You get the big call from Joe Bowen throughout. And there he was, the collage of Columbus Blue Jacket action. A 5-1 win for the Columbus Blue Jackets over the Toronto Maple Leafs, wrapping up the home season. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And talk about the game, talk about the season, talk about everything. Our man Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
It was like having things mercifully end. And I was saying the only upside was the last 2 years, this was unexpected. This year, we were able to brace ourselves for what was to happen or what they expected. And this week really is playing out the string.
Well, they've used up their free pass is kind of how I view it. I mean, the fans that were in the building tonight that stayed around till the end were pretty charitable, you know, given the way this one ended up here tonight for the Leafs. And you know, I think that this season, as you mentioned, Gord, was one that the fan base is ready for, the media, Mike Babcock, and, you know, a lot of the players. I think everyone knew what was going on. But I would expect when we're having this conversation a year from now that they'll have to have made some progress or there'll be considerable unrest once again. So, you know, for me, that was kind of the takeaway. There are some positives. I mean, they dropped down to 30th tonight, and you know, at this point in the season, I don't think we can disguise the fact that's going to be a good thing, because I would be surprised if they're able to pull out of that position, meaning they've got a 20% chance of getting the number one overall pick, but also a 52% chance of at least getting one of the top three picks, which will help, I guess, with the rebuild that's going on here.
Chris, I mean, obviously a 5-1 loss, your last regular season game, you know, to the coaching staff and everyone else, is very disappointing. But you're down there. What was the reaction like? I mean, you saw a couple of empty seats at the end of the game. But what was the reaction? Were people like really hanging their heads, or was it kind of like, yeah, you know, thank God it's over with? And at the end of the day, this was the best scenario that could have happened, was losing the game tonight.
Well, it was night and day, I'll tell you, Todd, from last year when. We all remember what was going on throughout the year, but even at the end, there was boos and you know, really a negative feeling. And you know, obviously the result this year, the whole season really wasn't about any individual result in a game, I almost feel like. And as a matter of that, the fans that did stay around, there weren't a ton, but there was a little Go Leafs Go, and there was cheering, and some kids got to come on the ice and accept sticks from the players as sort of a gift at the end of the year. And there was still a surprisingly positive, I guess, feeling to the occasion, despite the score and the way things went. So, as I say, that to me, that's kind of the last free pass these guys are going to get in terms of, you know, having those expectations set so low and still, you know, being able to have that kind of game and not be, you know, booed and you know, have it become a negative thing. So, you know, I say kudos to the fans that have stuck with them and probably paid good money to be here tonight and still didn't express any displeasure, at least that I heard.
Well, and I just want to ask you about at the end of the game, because now it's funny, they started the season with a salute. I noticed some guys were ready to go off and then they quickly hurriedly got to center ice. It seems like, you know, correcting the salute snafu last year was huge. And then, okay, so when you say guys got sticks, like they used to do the sweater off the back thing, but that's kind of gone for the last few years, is it? So what exactly did they do post-game?
Yeah, they had kids. I'm not sure exactly how they were pulled out of the crowd, but it was all children that were out of the crowd. And each player, I guess, was assigned to a kid. And they all went over and actually, you know, talked to them. And I noticed some of them were autographing a personalized autograph on the blade of the sticks they gave away, and even posting for some selfie pics and things of that nature. So, you know, they were, you know, it was a nice moment, actually. It was good to see them, you know, even after that loss, stay out there and talk to the kids. And I'm sure some good memories were made on the ice for the ones that are left with a stick tonight.
Chris, you know, it's just a little bit of the game here tonight. You know, it's still got to be a little bit of a learning curve for the young guys. And I guess I'd say this is kind of still, it's somewhat of a luxury for Toronto to be in this position, let guys learn a little bit more on the ice from their mistakes. Kasperi Kapanen basically has a turnover. I believe that was the second or third goal by Columbus. He turns the puck over by doing, you know, a little bit too much dipsy doodling at the Columbus blue line. They go back down, they counter and they score. You know, even though it happened that way, it's got to be a little bit of I don't want to say a good thing, but it kind of is, because it's a lesson learned in a situation where it's not a must-win game. I'm sure this is just a teaching moment for Mike Babcock.
It is, and you know, the one thing Mike Babcock said I thought was interesting is that he hopes a few of the young guys, as they head back to go to the Calder Cup playoffs in the AHL, are kind of reminded of how things can turn if you're not paying attention to those details. And you know, it was the turnovers that really had the coach, you know, mad tonight. I think that you know, especially as it got later in the game. I mean, there was a lot of good looks. I mean, Garrett Sparks, it didn't end up ending well for him, but he did actually make a couple of sharp saves, I thought, early in the third period. I mean, Columbus was getting some really good looks there, and you know, even the goals they did score. I mean, I think even the early one, Brendan Saad was in alone on his. I mean, this was not certainly the kind of defensive effort we've seen Toronto have a lot this year, and it's somewhat easy to forget that sometimes, that the team has had some really good stretches defensively, but everything came unglued tonight. And then, you know, it was as exasperated as I can remember Mike Babcock being, actually, in recent memory here with his post-game comments.
Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, joining Gord Stellick, Todd Alusco, Leafs Nation post-game, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, a 5-1 Columbus win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we've been making it a positive theme so far in the show. There's no point really talking about the game. And, okay, so let's look as the training camp. Let's look realistically. What have we learned? Who can play next year? Who's set? What's going on? Like, at what point would a draft pick play for the Leafs, and at what point would he not play for the Leafs? Meaning, would it only be Austin Matthews? I mean, lose a guy that doesn't like to rush guys generally. What are you seeing for next year as the next step goes?
Well, I mean, if they end up picking the top three, you know, I would think that it's very possible any of those picks, you know, whether they end up with one of the Finnish wingers, Patrick Laine or Jesse Puljujärvi, or Austin Matthews. Certainly, I mean, they all played professional hockey this year in Europe, and you know, are big physical players in terms of, you know, they're not in the Mitch Marner category, who still has some weight to put on, I think, and you know, wasn't really a factor in his first training camp last year. So there's a good chance to see one of them. I really do believe the lineup's going to look quite different, though. I mean, there's not room for all the veterans that are currently here, even those signed longer term. And, you know, I guess I think we'll know perhaps even a little bit more after the playoff run here for the Marlies, because while there's been some good, I mean, outside of, say, William Nylander, probably Zach Hyman, who had a really good run up here, I can't say for sure too many of these guys are going to be around. I really do believe that it's a tough thing to get a read on. I mean, I think we can pencil 39 in, and Nylander will be there, but for the rest, there's going to be some I guess heads to turn in the playoffs with the Marlies, which I know the organization is you know, putting a lot of emphasis on, and in training camp those battles will play out, because I really don't think that, you know, too many guys are going to have a position set, you know, come September when they report for camp. And you know, this is part of it, is that they want an internal battle growing, and you know, right now I think that you can see that the makings of what's to come in that regard.
Chris, one of the positives that I like to, you know, like I said, this is, what is it, today's Tuesday, Wednesday? Positive Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
Is to me, is still the one guy that stood out to me from the first day that he came here on the trade deadline was Colin Greeny. He's got another year left in his contract. Has this guy done enough and solidified a spot for himself, whether it's a third or fourth line next year with this Toronto Maple Leaf club?
He's far more in the mix than I would have thought. You know, I kind of viewed him as just a throw-in contract at the time of that Dion Phaneuf trade, and I didn't expect him to be a contributor. In fact, he's put up better offensive numbers in a stretch of games here with the Leafs than he did in the American Hockey League, you know, which just shows you wouldn't expect it. And you know, I think that it's breathed a bit of new life into his career to get to somewhere where, you know, he doesn't feel as though a decision's already been made about him. He's obviously getting to play some good minutes with the way the Leafs lineup has been, and you know, he'll be in that mix. But I don't think we can say yet that it's a it's a slam dunk. I mean, there's we know James Van Riemsdyk will be back, Tyler Bozak, Nazem Kadri. And there's a much more experienced lineup to be played here than we've seen down the stretch, just because of the serious number of injuries the Leafs have had. And, I think that Colin Greening will be in the conversation, but, you know, I can't say for sure that he'll be there. There might be other ways, I guess, if he's moved on to another organization or something of that nature, still yet for next year. I mean, really, let's face it, Lou Lamoriello has been on record saying 50 to 60% of the lineup he expects to be different. So sure. Once you get past the obvious guys, that doesn't leave many spots for those that we can say are back 100%.
So, Chris, you know, one last thing. I found something that I think is a positive on this season. You know, everyone was talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs, and this is, obviously the 30th place right now. But at the end of the day, if you look at stats, the standings from last year, this Toronto Maple Leafs team has 67 points. Last year, a last-place team who was the Buffalo Sabres, had 54 points. Arizona had 56. So as bad as the Leafs season was, it could have been a heck of a lot worse if you look at the stats where the last-place teams were last year. So, yeah, not a great season, but things could have been a little bit worse. So that's my spin on it being not as bad as, trying to stay somewhat positive.
Right. Well, and look, we haven't had many nights like this one. I mean, there's been a couple over 82 games, which I think even the good teams have, but they haven't been blown out almost at all. They've been in the games. They've fought hard. I don't think that any of us are left questioning the effort or the interest level of the players. And we couldn't say that last year. We really couldn't at times. And that was something that Brendan Shanahan wanted fixed immediately. I mean, we knew that there'd be a length of time before they're ready to compete, and still is. But something like that, just being proud to wear the jersey and giving the right effort and working on your game, is something that can be fixed. And I think that for the large, by and large, it has been. I mean, what stood out about the third period tonight is just, that was relatively commonplace in the last couple seasons from time to time where, especially the nights where we saw sweaters thrown on the ice and things like that. It was games that got away and 6-2 losses and things like that. Whereas, this year, that's an area that, until tonight, we haven't seen very many of them. And I think that is a positive, because almost every night the Leafs were playing tonight, they had less talent than their opposition on whole, if you were to compare the rosters. And, I still think they fought pretty hard to get what they could out of the year despite that.
Yeah, something, and just to look back, and I don't want to keep you much longer, but I think it's kind of a tribute to Leaf fans, and at least Leaf fans getting appreciated this year, that you think of 2012 was that Game 7, okay, which was unexpected, but, that kind of emotional, incredible loss, to have that loss to the Boston Bruins. I don't remember 2013 so much. It kind of just went off the track a bit.
I think 2013 was Game 7, right?
Well, was it 2011-12? They came back from, 2012, wasn't it?
It's 2013, after the lockout season. 2012-13 was a lockout year.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so I got my bearings right then. Okay, so the lockout year, come back, and then you've got, because the year before, the 18-wheeler goes off the road. Okay, well, you go back to that. The 18-wheeler goes off the road, or whatever it was, with Brian Burke in 2012. 2013 is that lockout year, so I got my chronology right. Then 2014, if you remember, the last home game was against Winnipeg. And I'm not a Dion Phaneuf basher at all, but you remember he just started talking about how they worked hard or something like that, or, whatever. And they got killed. And then last year was the Black Sunday, where Brendan Shanahan, it just was a ridiculous finish, and then Brendan Shanahan fired, I think it was 18 people, whatever it may be. So, there's a lot of things. It's been incredible, incredible, dismal finishes. So to put it in context, this year is expected. This is what was promised. But, wow, that's a big enchilada for any kind of fan base to swallow on so many years. And at least they're not taking the crap from guys like Phil Kessel last year, chastising people how badly they were treating Dion Phaneuf. It's been a pretty, pretty abominable run.
Well, it has. It's been dreadful. And a lot of things reflect that. The TV ratings, more empty seats than you normally see it. I mean, this is a fan base that obviously for 50 years has been tested. But, the last 5 years, I think, have been particularly difficult. And, starting with that loss, because, the hope had gone up a little bit when obviously they got in that first round series with Boston and, had a chance to win the Game 7. And that's why next year to me will be very interesting. I know there's two road games here left. it's funny, you play the last game at home and you kind of feel a bit like the year's over. But, you know, I think next year will be interesting because they do have, you know, a little bit higher bar to clear. And you know, they're going to have to show some growth. And, you know, I really don't think the patience will be at the same level it was this year. But, you know, I've never seen anything like this in my years around the Leafs, and just in terms of people, you know, fully, I think, you know, buying into the plan and dealing with, you know, what that meant at times, which, you know, wasn't always the best hockey games to watch, and, you know, still standing behind the team. And, you know, we did see that here tonight, even on a tough evening for them at the Air Canada Center.
Johnny, Johnny, last question for me is, you know, Toronto's got, okay, we got two games left. Are we done with any more call-ups? Is there anyone else that may get a token game in these last two games, or is it pretty much status quo from here on in?
I think the token game might be Leo Komarov coming back. He's going out on the trip, and obviously with just the game tomorrow in Philadelphia and it's Saturday in New Jersey, I wouldn't think that they were taking him unless they were reasonably sure he could get into at least one of those games. So, excuse me, I think that he'll be the guy returning, and probably as soon as possible, they're going to want to return the players to the American Hockey League that are going to be part of that playoff run, and just to get their focus shifted and get their minds around what's going to happen there, because it's you know, it could be an important spring for this organization if they're able to blend everyone back in and have a long run down there. So I don't see any obvious call ups. I mean, there's always a chance for an injury or something of that nature, but I really do think now it's more guys going the other way is the focus of the team.
Chris, appreciate it as always. Thanks very much for joining us.
No problem, guys. We'll talk soon.
That sounds good. Chris Johnston joining us for Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. Later on, too, we'll talk about the night that was in Edmonton, the closing of the Rexall Center. Nice seeing Mark Messier, Wayne Gretzky getting their picture taken with Connor McDavid. That's a neat little one that happened earlier, and we'll talk about the post-game ceremonies that went on there and the game on the ice, the Oilers at least ending it in fine fashion. But we talk about the head coach. We always hear from the head coach, Mike Babcock, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. To get back to the game, it was a 5-1 loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Here's Mike Babcock.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think either team was very good in the first. You know, I thought we were in a good spot. You know, it's you turn pucks over, you know, play well without it, ends up in your net. And, you know, we had some guys that turned the puck over. We turned the puck over way too much tonight. You know, for the young guys that are going down to play in the Calder Cup Finals, it should be a real good reminder to them. You turn the puck over, you can't win. It's impossible. So, message should be loud and clear.
Mike, a year ago, there were fans in Toronto throwing jerseys on the ice. Tonight, you think you drop down to 30th, and with time running out, fans are still chanting, "Go Leafs, go!"
Well, they're being kind to us tonight, though. Let's not kid ourselves. If I was watching that game, no, I mean, there's lots of good things that are going on in the organization. I think we all know that. We've been watching it, but tonight wasn't one of those things, though. So let's not kid ourselves. That effort and the execution of that effort is not good enough, and it's unacceptable. And we've given lots of players in our organization opportunities to play. Some have said they want to be on the team, and some have said they're not going to be on the team and not going to be here. And that's just the way it is, and that's the business, and it's the hard part of the business, but everyone can't be on the team. But there's lots of really positive things that have gone on. I wouldn't call tonight one of them.
Mike, will Holland or Komarov go with you guys on the trip?
I think they're both coming, or not Holland. Holland's not coming, and Leo is coming, and ideally if we can get him in a game, we'll get him in a game.
Yeah, interesting there. You hear in Mike Babcock, and he, like a lot of fans, understands the rebuild or whatever you want to call it, but you can still hear he's pissed off. Like it's he wasn't here the last few years, so it's almost like the question I posed to Chris Johnston saying, like, it's absurd you're even posing the question that, like, you know, wow, at least the fans and the players didn't hate each other or whatever maybe at the end. And Mike Babcock just said, no, they're pretty charitable tonight.
Yeah.
This wasn't a game. We understand there's a rebuild, but this kind of game to be at it is not a game that you should be cheering the home team, even though a lot of Maple Leaf fans did cheer the home team.
No, 100%. I mean, I guess the question wasn't posed as a negative towards him. Just he was trying to make a point to him. Mike Babcock's is from Detroit. He's not used to any of this stuff, and this is all news to him, and he hates it, and he never wants to go through this again. But I think the point is valid that every single, you know, the question was posed, you know, you know, they're not booing you right now. The question basically was saying they've all bought in and they understand where you said it was going to be a difficult year. It is. They've achieved the position where you thought you were going to be without any miracle runs at the very end. You're going to get a good draft pick and go from there. But it's really difficult for a coach like Mike Babcock to accept. This guy's all about winning, and it's fans. You don't want to see these guys lose, but the situation is what it is. I mean, right now, this is going to give them the best opportunity to try to rebuild this team at a little bit quicker pace by getting a better player in the draft. And on a side note, Gord, it's kind of interesting. The Toronto Maple Leafs still do not have, and it's interesting because he said Leo may make a return. The Leafs still do not have a 20 goal scorer this season. P.A. Parenteau's got 19, and so does Leo Komarov at 19. They got two games to get to 20 because the last time the Leafs had not had a 20 goal scorer in their lineup was in 1938. 1939, Gord Drillin was the guy they had back then, or was didn't have back then as a goal scorer. That was the last one. Anyways,
you get my point. Back in that era.
It's been a long time. So that's the one caveat maybe that they want to try to get to. One of those two guys try to get that 20th goal of the season so they don't set another record, but we'll see.
You talked about it earlier, another standard about the kind of game it was. Look at the officials. So Brian Pucmera, then a referee, Garrett Rank, never heard of him. So they give the young guys a chance. Linesman, Tony Siracolo, heard of him a bit. Devin Berg, never heard of him. That's not a knock. I'm just saying they give some of the younger officials a chance to get some NHL games in because the officials in the American Hockey League are considered NHL trainees, so they're paid that way. So you try to find some of them that are worth it, you've deemed worthy, some games at the end of the season, and that's what they've deemed. But you pick the games. Like they're not tonight doing Detroit, Philadelphia.
Of course not.
For example. So anyway, it gives you a tale of what has been going on. Hear from some of the players involved in tonight's game. You know, it's funny, just looking at the stats, I don't even know what it matters, but just, from the one game. But Tyler Bozak was a minus one, played 17 minutes, 35 seconds. He had one shot on net. And I imagine talking, it's not so much about the game, but about the season. Here's Maple Leaf Tyler Bozak.
Right to the end, I could hear people yelling, "Go Leafs, go." It was such a different atmosphere than last season when people were tossing jerseys on the ice, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, we didn't put in a good enough effort to deserve that tonight, that's for sure. But it was nice to hear. I think people are excited about the future, and they see a lot of talent and what these young guys can do. So it was nice of them to do that for us.
Felt like the game was within reach, at least till midway through the second. What happened?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought we played pretty good at early and got out to a lead, and a couple turnovers that we don't need to make led to a couple goals, and then I just didn't think we didn't compete hard enough, and we didn't score on our opportunities.
There's a little bit there we hear from Tyler Bozak, and by the way, Garrett Rank, there you go, our man Emil just says he was a golfer, like a pretty good golfer in that, so which goes synonymous hand in hand with hockey, and just chatting about him being an NHL referee trainee getting the game tonight. So, Tyler Bozak, I don't know, do you have anything to comment about Tyler Bozak's comments?
He's just, he's basically he's written off the season as well. They're all, I think every single, especially the veterans, they've written it off. Whatever the two games hold from here on in, it's all about focusing next year and channeling their energy on coming back and having a better season. And he says, the fans gave him a little bit of applause. They didn't deserve it. But again, Tyler Bozak, as the fans are, I think they're looking towards next year and, hope. That's the one thing that you have as a Toronto Maple Leaf fan is hope. And I think Tyler Bozak reiterates it with everyone else. Hey, give us a chance. We'll see what happens next year. Let's move forward. This season's done.
Guy, you were talking about Morgan Rielly and what's not to talk about, what's not to like. He scores the lone Toronto goal tonight, plays 21 minutes and 3 seconds. He is two shots on net. Here he is. Talking, Morgan Rielly talking about tonight's game.
And like just on the ice afterwards, when you guys salute them, it's a tough game, but you're still out there, the kids come out.
Yeah, it's nice when the kids come out and you're able to give them a stick or something, give them a salute. I think that they deserved it. They were very good all year to us. They, treated us with our respect, a lot of support there. So I think that, the least we could do is a salute. And moving forward, I think that we're very lucky to have the fans we do. They're very, supportive, very encouraging. So, we're very appreciative of that, and that's all that was.
Here's Morgan Rielly chatting about tonight's game. Well, that was it. It was a 5-1 win for the Columbus Blue Jackets over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Talk about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we didn't put in a good enough effort to deserve that tonight, that's for sure. But it was nice to hear. I think people are excited about the future, and they see a lot of talent and what these young guys can do. So it was nice of them to do that for us.
There you go. We heard from him a little bit before. Tyler Bozak chatting a little more. As we welcome you back, Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick. Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. He's one of the guys, Tyler Bozak as well, that I think, you know, you talk about the leadership void that was incredibly evident with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and then it created some followers who, by virtue of their seniority, like Tyler Bozak, were kind of quasi-leaders. And I think he shares a decent amount of the blame for that, and I also think he shares an amount of credit for being being an appropriate follower, appropriate leader type this year, that buying into the program.
Oh, 100%. You know, it's everyone needs a little bit of time to grow. It doesn't matter how old you are. You know, you're going to learn from past experiences. And I think last year, Tyler Bozak learned a lot of what basically not to do. And I think he's shown some tremendous leadership this year in terms of turning the attitude around and being a leader for the young guys and stuff. And I thought he's been one of the guys this year that has shown the way for the young guys coming up. So, yeah, full credit to Tyler Bozak turning around. And, it's going to be interesting to see, how Tyler Bozak is utilized in the next couple of years and if he's going to be a Leaf as they move forward. But, Tyler Bozak has proved that he is a valuable commodity for this Toronto Maple Leaf team, whether it's going to be a second, third line center down the road. I really like... it's hard to say you like a guy's performance this year when the team is dead last, but I do like the way Tyler Bozak has played, has been on and off the ice for the Toronto Maple Leafs this year. And, who knows what's in store for all these guys next year, but this is a guy that, quite possibly could be coming back and being part of this organization for the next few years.
Well, as we chat about that, we'll take a look and just fill us in a bit about the closing of Rexall Place in Edmonton, and they seem to be doing it right. They've brought back anybody who's welcome who played at least one game for the Edmonton Oilers or the Alberta Oilers back when the World Hockey Association. So they keep having names out there, names we recognize like Shane Corson, Bernie Nichols, Gary Unger, and some we don't so much, but obviously a big like Anton Lander coming out now, but obviously a thrill for them, current guy. I mean, they're mixing the current guys with the veteran guys. Wayne Van Dorp. There's one coming out as well. So that's what they're doing, and there's this kind of parade without any kind of commentary, but it's a nice way. They won 6-2 today and tonight. Louis DeBrusque just coming out. So I know it's something you enjoy as you're looking at so many guys that you played against.
Yeah. Well, just the last two you just said, Wayne Van Dorp, he was in Cape Breton for a bunch of years when I was in the minors, and Louis DeBrusque, I played with Louis in London. Plus, I mean, this is pretty cool. I mean, they're bringing everyone back. From what I heard, they sent out an invitation to, like you said, anyone that actually played one game with the Oilers throughout their storied franchise. And apparently 200 players have replied and are showing up for this. And I guess, like, they're not getting paid anything. They obviously got their flights and accommodations taken care of. But it just tells you how important the arena, the organization in general was to all these players that decided to come back. I mean, a couple of the guys played one or two games, whatever, and they're going to jump on that for sure because it's pretty cool for them to be out there. But I think this is awesome, what Edmonton is doing right now, bringing these guys back and celebrating them, because like you and I, we're watching this. Everyone that's in the arena right now in Edmonton, if you are a ticket holder that has been a ticket holder since the Oilers came into the NHL, you know all these guys, or you know the majority of these guys, and it is pretty cool to see all these guys that played their comeback for one last time to help celebrate the history of the arena and it being the last game the Oilers are ever going to play in Northlands Coliseum first and then Rexall Place. So this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I see just in the background Ron Lowe and Kenny Lintzman getting ready to come out. So they're doing some kind of there's an alphabetical order, but then it keeps restarting and restarting and restarting. So I'm not quite sure. And obviously the likes of Mark Messier and Wayne Gretzky will come out at the end. There was a shot there of them in a resplendent... Oh, Peter Ng, holy mackerel, head of the Maple Leaf alumni coming out.
He makes his rounds
with the Edmonton jersey. And there was a shot of the two of them resplendent in their suits.
Dennis Bonvy.
Around Connor McDavid. And that'll be one of those pictures for the ages, right? I think I could be wrong, but I think it'd be the first time all three of them have been together that way. So kind of a nice, or certainly a nice night going on in Edmonton. And nice for them, there's Marty McSorley too chatting, nice for them to win this game after such an abominable effort on Saturday.
Yeah, I think this was, I mean, if there was any sort of motivation to win the game, having all these legends, as Mike Krushelnicki's about to walk out, any motivation to win this game tonight, it was going to be tonight with having all these legends, all the Stanley Cup history in the building, the guys walking around. The last thing the Oilers wanted to do tonight to close out this historic arena was to just lay a big fat goose egg up on the board tonight, and they did anything but that in a big 5-2 victory. So good for the Edmonton Oilers. And again, I love the history of the guys. Guys are coming out, and it's so much fun, Gord, for you. You're a hockey historian, and for myself to see guys that I've played with, current past guys, and even guys that I didn't even know about, where you gotta put in the hockey database to find out exactly where these guys have played or when they played. But this is so cool right now. This is the type of situation I could sit back and watch 1,000 guys walk out, because it's pretty cool to see these guys, number one, that they're still around and breathing, and number two, what they look like right now. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and there's a guy like Greg Hoggood, who's kind of like a lot like a TJ Brennan, did really well in the American Hockey League mostly. And then, you know, you just saw Scott Thornton as well. So Peter Ng, Scott Thornton, it brings back memories of them. Those two, Luke Richardson and Vinny Downfus, were that first big trade by Cliff Fletcher that acquired Grant Fuhr and Glenn Anderson and kind of set the template for that team that had the great runs in 1993-94. Who's that giving the big...
Joaquin Gage.
Yeah, so you never know. You think it's a big name coming out. Not that he's not a big name, with all due respect to him, but just, yeah, coming out that way. I'm looking at Peter Ng. So he played 12 games with the Edmonton Oilers, Peter Ng did. I went in that trade as well. Never came back in the NHL after that. So Peter Ng had a total of, with the Toronto Maple Leafs, so he played 56 games that one year. So he played 59 with Toronto, 12 with Edmonton. But anyway, everybody is welcome back.
And Gord, you know, it's pretty cool. I mean, I had the opportunity to play, a lot of games in the Edmonton Coliseum at the time, Northlands, when I was with Calgary. And, you know, yeah, I know that you brought up the point with Jim Poplinski, who's a buddy of yours, that talked about times when Calgary was in there, and he's shocked that no one actually died in those battles. And I can reiterate with him. And one of my fondest memories of being there was actually in an exhibition game. We're playing in Edmonton. Coach, we had Pierre Paget was our head coach. Guy Lapointe was our assistant. And you always see it in clips. If you ever get YouTube clips, it's kind of funny. Is we're playing a game, and all of a sudden, a guy, just a drunk fan behind our bench, reaches over, and Guy Lapointe is standing there, you know, Hall of Famer himself. And this guy pours a full beer over top of Guy Lapointe's head and just soaks him with the beer. This is an exhibition game. And like, so the fans were in it as much as anything else. He drops a full beer in Guy Lapointe's head, and we had a guy on our team, a crazy guy named Sasha Lakovic. I don't know if you remember him. He was a IHL journeyman, tough guy. He goes flying over top of the glass. His skates are flying in the air. His stomach is basically on top of the plexiglass, just throwing haymakers at this fan. Guy Lapointe has a Stanley Cup ring on, turns around and clocks this fan right between the eyes, and leaves his Stanley Cup ring with the Montreal Canadiens, the logo, and we saw it, the logo of the big CNH on his ring, on this guy's forehead. And I mean, it was things like that you remember, that it was the battles on and off the ice. But I'll tell you what, that was a special arena to play in, a special rink to watch. Awesome what they're doing tonight. But I think it's, you know, they're finally, you know, they're shutting this rink down, and there's a lot of exciting things to look forward to with the Connor McDavids that they have right now, opening up this new rink in Edmonton, and they're ready to start a new chapter in the history of the Edmonton Oilers.
Well, they intermingle current players. So Nail Yakupov seemed to get a huge ovation, and he was playing it up to the fans that way, because that's going to be interesting if he's back next year. I talked to Bob Stauffer, who's involved in the Oilers broadcast, though. It's interesting you said one thing. It's time to be moving on, and you name it. He also said that this building, like, they started playing there in 1974 with the Alberta Oilers in the WHA, so it's like 41 years ago. And about Freddie Braithwaite, there's one. He said... a name from the past is what I mean. And he said the ice, though, was considered the best ice in the NHL. And he says that hasn't been the case for a while. He goes, that's not true anymore. Like, it's Dan Craig came from there. He was the Iceman. He's been the Iceman around the NHL now for about 20 years. He's Mr. Ice.
Oh, yeah.
He's hired by the league. He does all the outdoor classics and what have you. But he just said the stuff's broken down. The facility's broken down. It's the ice is crap, which kind of was too bad to hear.
That's they're saying that. Are you talking about in Edmonton at this rank?
The last 10 years. And like, about that, the last 10 years.
And that's the thing. When I played there, so that was before 10 years ago, that ice was the best. And it's...
It was for so many years, yeah.
It was unbelievable. So to hear that has been... Because that was one of the signature things coming to Edmonton. If you were an average skater, you would come on that ice surface, and you ask anybody, you felt like you added an extra 2-3 miles an hour on your skating because the ice was that good. It makes a huge difference. So, and I think it's got a lot to do with, obviously, you know, the concerts that are in and out, and, you know, got a nice little tidbit that the very first concert, this kind of dates... the Edmonton Coliseum, North Ends Coliseum at the time. The very first concert that was ever put on in Edmonton. Do you know who it was?
I don't.
Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder. He's still going strong.
Oh, he's still performing. But
I like Stevie Wonder.
But that's in his younger years when he did that. I think that's a cool little tidbit. And then I'm hearing the first concert that's going into the new one. Because I was talking to Bob Nicholson about it. And he was, now it slipped my brain because he told me the first concert that's going in the new arena. And I'm going to have to text him because I forgot. It was pretty cool.
Chilliwack?
I think maybe Brian Adams and Kim Mitchell, I guess. That's who's going.
Well,
we'll
try and figure out what's going on. Anyway, that's going on. And we'll, of course, keep you posted about that and let you know more as we see so many... Peter Klima, there he is, number 85 back there. All these guys behind the scenes.
Why wouldn't you make the trip back if you're a guy? I mean, if you played the game of hockey and you get an invitation to come back and you're going to be around those 200 guys, and you know there's about 50 or 60 of them that you're still tied in, you're close with them, to come back and to see them again and to be part of it again. If you've ever been part of a team, whether it's minor hockey or professional, you know how special it is to get back and tell stories and lie to each other about things. It's awesome. So this to me is again, I'm getting caught up in it, but is one of the coolest things you're ever going
to
see.
Well, I was fortunate to be part of 1999 when Maple Leaf Gardens closed. They invited everybody back. And you're right about that. It was just like the best party. And I don't mean crazy party, just chatting with everybody, because you went down the second intermission and you got ready for it. It was too bad the Leafs did lose to the Chicago Blackhawks that night. And as well, as much as I appreciated being included, the ceremony was a little underwhelming. I mean, it that morning when there was a run-through and we were at the hotel and someone's running through and telling, and then they said there was some event group and they said, well, we can't tell you too many things. And then I'm listening to it going, well, this doesn't sound that great.
Did you have a lot of guys that did come back, though?
Like,
Like, what do you know what the kind of the total, the general total
was? I can't remember the number. There was some controversy because at first the impression was you had to pay your own way or whatever. And that's where Dave Keon didn't come back and a lot of things. So, but at the end of the day, it's like you tell anyone in life, if you're going to throw a party, throw it. Don't let what other people say. You know, no one's going to ruin your party. And it ended up being a great party that night. You see... everyone backstage now every ex-Oiler wants his picture taken with Wayne Gretzky. And that's what you're seeing in the background. There's Paul Coffey as well. Kenny Linsman just being introduced now. But it's just like every old part-time Oiler is now trying to get a picture there with Wayne Gretzky. And why wouldn't you? So he obviously isn't going to the Masters till, I don't know if it's going tomorrow or the day after. I think he's going to celebrate that fun tonight.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, too, it's interesting because as they're walking through and they're coming out, also, Connor McDavid is milling amongst all the veteran, the superstar guys of the 80s and stuff. And you can see those guys are actually grabbing him as well. So it's kind of cool. You're seeing McDavid and Gretzky taking pictures, McDavid and Messier taking pictures. So this is cool for everyone. Everyone's enjoying it. And exactly, this is the way you should be celebrating the closing of a historic arena.
Well, and a reminder, when we come up next, we'll put it to bed, but the Detroit Red Wings looks like they're going to end with a victory. It's just 2 minutes left in regulation time. They lead the Philadelphia Flyers 2-0. Of course, the Toronto Maple Leafs, that would be a huge upset I would think, tomorrow if they were able to defeat the Philadelphia Flyers. So that is the out-of-town scoreboard. We mentioned it was 6-2 as far as the Edmonton Oilers defeating the Vancouver Canucks. We'll take a look at that as far as things go. We'll talk about, you know, Carey Price as well being shut down, which we knew. But basically, the Montreal Canadiens then coming out saying, yeah, he had two different injuries, as we suspected. A knee injury as well, that it wasn't surgery. It was rehab. Rehab going well, making strides, but it's a long, arduous process, and that he should be okay for next season.
Well, I mean, I think there shouldn't have been any sort of debate on if you're going to let him play a couple more or not. I mean, it's nice to get an idea of where the kid's at, but you know, at any chance that you're gonna set back your superstar all world goalie again by him not coming out and being 100% makes no sense. So for them to shut him down doesn't surprise me. Also, PK Subban has been told that he's going to shut it down as well. I mean, again, the games don't mean anything to these guys anymore. Yes, they have pride. They'd like to play in them. But if you're not 100%, it makes absolutely zero sense to throw you out right now and roll the dice. This isn't game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs or, you know, a must-win to try to get in. Obviously, guys play through injuries. But at this point of the season, it makes absolutely zero sense for two of your star players to even put their skates back on.
Well, as they continue the Wall of Fame and the closing ceremonies at Rexall Place, we'll come back. We'll touch on that a little bit. We'll have a final. We'll talk about the Detroit-Philadelphia game as well. Hear from some of the principals involved in tonight's game. And we'll talk about tonight's game. Like we said, in a microcosm, it wasn't much to talk about. It was a 5-1 loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets. And it was a strange one to see and witness as the cheering went for the Leafs having a 1-0 lead and then blowing it to try to secure as low a pick as possible. Of course, the Oilers winning helps the Toronto Maple Leaf cause, and the Red Wings just scoring an empty net. So that is 3-0. That'll be all she wrote for that game. So we will be back. We'll chat about the game. We'll chat about the Toronto Maple Leafs' future. We'll chat about the out-of-town scores as well, one with significant playoff implications and the other, the closing of Rexall Place. And we'll await the arrival of the likes of Wayne Gretzky, Mark Messier, and some other big names that are out there. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
That's just seconds ago in the closing of Rexall Place in Edmonton. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, welcoming you back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Yeah, let's do that. And we, of course, like I said, I mean, Bill Tuelli, the old PR guy, is talking now, which has been nice. Would be nice to be there. We mentioned they seem to have done a good job with it. A lot of players, anybody who played at least one game was invited. And, you know, it's a lot of Toronto angles, Shane Corson, just guys like that out there. And they saved the end for guys like Paul Coffey and Yari Curry and Glenn Anderson and Mark Messier, followed by Wayne Gretzky. Did Kevin Lowe get booed?
Kevin Lowe got the rousing boo from the crowd, which is unfortunate because he did a lot for that organization on the ice, not so much off the ice.
And now a little collage of those that have passed away. And clear, I forgot, a guy named Bep Gwitalin was a GM and head coach. Of course, Billy Harris won Stanley Cups with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He was a coach, Pat Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
So nice job they've done with that. Wayne Fleming as well. So we won't go over everybody, but that's what's going on. And again, it was great that they won the final game 6-2 over the Vancouver Canucks as they now close the building down and Connor McDavid out there. So they hope that he becomes the next coming, the heir apparent to the likes of Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messier.
Yeah, timing is perfect. I mean, going into the new building, and he's going to be the new torch carrier of this Edmonton Oilers for years to come right now. And I'm sure that the Edmonton fan base is hoping that Connor McDavid can do for the Edmonton Oilers what Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messier did in the early 80s. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, this is a special evening in Edmonton, and it gives you kind of goosebumps when you watch it, especially if you're a historian like yourself and guys like myself that have played with a lot of these guys. It's pretty cool.
Taking a look at tonight's game, a 5-1 win by the Columbus Blue Jackets over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll get Aaron Portsline in a few minutes' time to talk about it. And, you know, it's interesting, as much as we talk about being prepared for this kind of season if you're a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, on the Columbus Blue Jackets side, they're ones that weren't. They finished last year like a house on fire, played great, couldn't quite make it to the playoffs, so expected very different things this year. So as we, you know, talk about what could be worse, I think it's worse what Toronto experienced other years and what Columbus is experiencing now, when they thought things would be a lot better. And from almost the opening faceoff, it's been a huge disappointment.
It really has. I mean, from the first day, I mean, I guess it was 9 losses in a row that eventually got Todd Richards fired at the beginning of the season. And just things that, you know, it is difficult when you have other expectations. Again, in Toronto, we knew this was going to happen this year. There was no indication that they were going to make the playoffs or be surprised. We knew what was going to happen. But yeah, like you said, Gordon, in Columbus, they thought that they were a team on a rise, and they had an opportunity to do something special, build from something that they did last year. And to end up where they are right now is extremely disappointing. And, you know, but they've got to be a team as well. They got to look in the mirror and actually look and see if this was just a one-off and it was just smoke and mirrors last year, or if they did have the core group, that this is just a year that they didn't have, you know, that they're going to grow on and move forward. I mean, obviously they have a nice piece in the defenseman and Seth Jones and other pieces, and a bunch of young guys. Bjorkstrand's going to be a good piece as well. But yeah, very disappointing for Columbus. Not expected, but it was expected what happened in Toronto.
Well, and it really showed as far as trades go, the blockbusters trade, and that's still it. An old-fashioned hockey trade of two young players. I'm trying to think of one comparable, but and neither side not happy with what's went on. You got Ryan Johansson, who was their guy to build around, and then Seth Jones, who was a stud defenseman that you never thought would leave Nashville. And holy mackerel, our guy John Shannon's heading out there. He's on the carpet there. Shanny's on the carpet. He finds himself everywhere out in Edmonton. There he is. He got like a prominent spot out there with a microphone. Anyway, that trade, as we talk about it, going on with the between the Columbus Blue Jackets and Nashville Predators, and so it was quite a change in philosophy that way. But Nashville had to go get that number one stud center, and in return, Columbus gets the stud defenseman.
Yeah, and when Nashville, you know, they're on their way to the postseason, so this is going to be you expected them to get there. I mean, it's a little bit different, difficult situation for them not getting Jimmy Vesey, that's the free agent to move forward with them. But this is a situation where, you know, Ryan Johansson's going to get an opportunity to show him what he's worth in the playoffs, and that's why they got him. They want to see that this is the important time. So Nashville, yeah, they made the big deal. But they expected to be there, and this is an opportunity for a guy like Ryan to shine here in the playoffs and say, listen, this is what I'm all about, and I'm going to help you guys go a long ways in the playoffs. And Nashville's got the type of sneaky team that I think could cause a few upsets in the playoffs this year.
Let's get to the other game, too. I don't know if you got it handy about Philadelphia-Detroit. Just get our summaries up and talk about the game that was. And this one, of course, Leafs take on the Philadelphia Flyers tomorrow. You got NHL.com up there?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
So, yeah, with tonight, in terms of the score tonight in Philadelphia, obviously we talked about it. The Detroit Red Wings have ended up winning 3-0 over the Flyers. This is huge. Darren Helm, Anthony Asuao, and Kyle Quincy have all scored for Detroit tonight. Jimmy Howard in net again. I mean, there's a story right now for you, Gord. Jimmy Howard has really taken the ball and run with it since Mrazek struggles. I think that's 3 wins in a row for Jimmy Howard. I mean, this kid has been playing unbelievable. Flyers, that's a devastating loss for them tonight. Still in a playoff spot, but the Boston Bruins are you know, they're hosting the Red Wings tomorrow, and they're hoping to climb back in there and to catch the Flyers. So it's, you know, down to the nitty-gritty for everybody.
Well, you talk about one building that was kind of quiet. That'd be Toronto. Two other buildings, only three games tonight, would have been rocking. The one in Edmonton tonight, for the reasons the closing of Rexall Place, and Detroit, they would have been pretty wired. This crowd would have been wired tonight. As you mentioned, Darren Helm scoring, then Athanasio getting a shorthanded goal. And those are always killers. Quincy's goal was in the empty net later on. It was in Detroit, so the Philadelphia Flyers still can control their destiny.
Sure.
Which is, yeah, I know, important to them. But a nice win. And Jimmy Howard, we're chatting with Ken Daniels, the play-by-play voice, about it on Saturday. And just, you know, Peter Mrazek on all the accolades he was getting and got to trade Jimmy Howard, got to unload his contract, you name it, that when he was needed the most, he's come up with the big games, the win over the Minnesota Wild on Friday. And certainly he was a difference maker Saturday against the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's for sure.
Yeah, he was the reason why they won that game, and make no mistake about it, he just stood on his head. And this is what, I mean, this is what Detroit figured they had in Jimmy Howard. Obviously, he's a number one goaltender. He's paid as a number one goaltender. So you have those blimps during the season and things aren't going well. But when you need him the most, which is right down the stretch right now, he has been money for these guys. And that also tells you the importance of having two quality goaltenders in case one does falter. Mrazek picked up the pieces when Howard was down, and then vice versa comes back, and Howard has basically stepped back into the number one role and is showing his true veteran presence and you know, hopefully continuing to lead this Detroit Red Wings team to a 25th consecutive playoff appearance.
Well, and again, that'll be compelling, so it'll make the Leaf game matter a bit more tomorrow. We heard from Mike Babcock earlier that Leo Komarov's coming on the trip.
Mm-hmm.
He wants Leo to play. Mike Babcock likes players like Leo Komarov. It's been incredible, the deluge of injuries, the decimation factor for a Maple Leaf team that was really healthy the start of the season. And then, you know, James Van Riemsdyk, I don't know why it was out west in Anaheim, and I don't know why it wasn't said that it was a Dion Phaneuf shot. Not to say anything wrong about Dion Phaneuf. That's what happens in hockey. Years ago, Joffrey Leupel's shot caught him high. But, you know, we wondered. We saw him get hit by the puck. We go, wow. The Phaneuf shot caught Leupel high, but also caught JVR this time around. So it's like, I don't know, it was like this protectiveness kind of thing where there's no shame in it, whatever. And we kind of thought, wow, that really hit him. And then nothing was said. And then all of a sudden, he's gone. And he's been gone for the season. And that just kind of started a snowball about, hey, Matt Hunwick's playing really well. What a pleasant surprise. He's gone. He's gone for the season.
I know.
On and on and on and on. And then you throw in the last cherry on the Sunday, Nazem Kadri, four-game suspension, which conveniently mirrors the final four games of the season.
I know. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because we had Lou Lamoriello on last game, and we talked about, you know, how come we never hear from these guys that are injured? I mean, that's the on-running joke is always guys are locked in Lou's basement and they're not coming out. No one's going to find these guys. But we actually breached the subject and we asked Lou, you know, why don't we hear about these guys that are injured all the time? Like, you never hear about these guys until they actually come back. And he made a valid point. I mean, he was a little bit, I don't know if he was a little taken back with the question that I asked him about that guy, how dare you type thing. But he answered the question. He says, well, let me answer a question with a question. Is why should these guys be out there? It's going to be the same question over and over again. When are you coming back? What's wrong with you? He goes, when they come back, you know they're back. So he likes, and he did that in New Jersey as well. He doesn't want to make it a spectacle and be about the injured player. So if you're injured and you're not going to play, you're gone. You're not going to be answering any questions. Stay out of the mix. Don't be a distraction. So I get it from there. And you know, being in the mecca of Toronto, we want to know everything all the time. And that's just not the way Lou operates. And it's on his time. And when the guys are ready to come back and when we're ready to tell you what's wrong with them, we'll do it then.
Yeah, he is. It was a lot of guys. Man, it was a lot of guys. And of course, Joffrey Leupel, what's his future like? I mean, he's a guy that really just didn't have a good season at all.
No.
And you wonder if he's going to be able to. And is that contract going to be a millstone around the Leafs salary cap next? And where, you know, they've got rid of the other ones, Kessel, Phaneuf, of course, Clarkson last year, still when David Nonis was here. And then, you know, really Bozak now looking like the contract's okay. It looked like a bad contract in some ways at the start of the season, but now something you can live with. And the list kind of goes on and on. Komarov's is certainly one you can live with that way as well. So we look ahead to next season for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Going to grab a few moments with Aaron Portsline from the Columbus Dispatch. Covers the Blue Jackets and the National Hockey League for them. Aaron, thanks for hopping on with us. I was just chatting with Todd Alushko about it earlier, just saying that, you know, from the Maple Leafs, this was expected. What a disappointing season from the puck drop, really, for Columbus Blue Jacket fans.
Yeah, I mean, you think of all of the seasons that they've had, and frankly, there were a lot of seasons where going into the season you weren't quite sure how they would win. For me, this year is very similar to the 2011-12 season when Jeff Carter didn't want to be here. Rick Nash had asked out. Steve Mason's career fell way down south. You know, I look at it, to me, this is telling. The Blue Jackets media guide this year had Sergei Bobrovsky, Nick Foligno, and Ryan Johansson on it. And Johansson is gone. Sergei Bobrovsky's played 37 games, maybe, has not been very good when he's been healthy. And Nick Foligno has fallen right off the map in terms of offensive production. That, you know, there's a lot more guys that shoulder the blame, but those are your guys. If all three of them perform so far below expectation, one of them's gone, I think that says volumes about what was expected of this team and why this team is in the state that it is.
Aaron, is you know John Tortorella comes in a tough situation. He comes in right away, and he has a little bit of success early, but ultimately this isn't where Columbus wants to be. Is John the right guy long-term for this organization? I know he's got a couple of years. He signed a few-year contract. But is this the type of guy that you can see can get the most out of this club moving forward? And just in general, is he the right guy to be in Columbus right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a weird – I get the question. Is anybody a long-term coach in this league anymore? How many guys last? I mean,
we are if you're in Toronto.
What they've done is they've really taken, they've gone from good cop Todd Richards to, I don't want to say bad cop because I think he gets a bit of a bum rap a little bit. I think he's better to players, and I think players like him more than people understand or give him credit for. But I think when you hire John Tortorella, there's a really defined idea of what a hockey player looks like, and it hasn't changed. Now there are examples that you go, yeah, okay, well then this guy's got it. The New York Rangers, I think, you know, they're maybe not what they were a couple years ago, but for me, over the last 5 or 6 years, that's the team that is greater than the sum of its parts, better than any other team in the league, and a lot of those players still credit Tortorella for lifting them up. Certainly Alain Vigneault gets a ton of credit too. Vancouver went horribly. Now, look at Vancouver this year. I don't think that team was ready to win. For me, you hire John Tortorella, you're now going in a whole different direction. You're not trying to save Todd Richards' team. You're not trying to take the team that was molded in Todd Richards' way and build off that. You're now building a different way. You're going down to the ground floor even with some guys. And I'm really interested to see who gets the ear of John Davidson, and I think it's going to start this summer. Does John Tortorella get his way with players, or does Jarmo Kekalainen get his way with players? And I'm not sure they have the same vision of what a winning player, looks like. And Tortorella was absolutely John Davidson's hire. I think there's some really interesting storylines to develop there as we move along here.
Well, like we said, just at a quick time, quick slot here, so we appreciate you hopping aboard, joining us. Like you said, last year it was showed the great run and all kinds of optimism, so we appreciate all the time through thick and thin. Sorry there was a lot of thin this year, but thanks very much for joining us, as always.
Yeah, hey, way she goes. Thanks for your time, guys.
That's right. Thank you. Aaron Portsline, he's covered it so many years with the Columbus Dispatch. And again, I'm trying to think of really, besides the Leafs down where they are, every other team is disappointed. Winnipeg's disappointed. Calgary's disappointed. They made the playoffs last year. Vancouver made the playoffs last year. They're disappointed. Edmonton, whether they expected to make the playoffs or not, they weren't gunning for dead last after lucking out getting Connor McDavid last year. So the only team down there, I think, are the Toronto Maple Leafs, because Buffalo and Arizona were down there last year. They've made some strides. Carolina's made some strides. So yeah, so it's funny. And sadly, this has been a reflection of this acceptance that this is part of what you need to move forward. But it's still tough to accept, and you can hear it and Mike Babcock, who we'll hear from next segment. He's tough to get used to.
Well, it's a little bit of a warning shot too to everyone to understand. And we've reiterated this as well, as it's not a 1 year fix here in Toronto either. Like we talk about Buffalo and Arizona. I mean, they're still down to the bottom end of the standings in terms of, you know, it's not a quick fix. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the fan base is like next year, is if this type of season happens again for the Leafs. Is it going to be acceptable? Obviously, I don't think it will be. And I don't think Mike Babcock, thinks it's going to be acceptable either. I think these guys are going to try to improve immensely over the summer period. But you cannot, you know, put your hopes too much. Even if they do land in Austin Matthews, it's going to take time. We've seen that happen. We've seen what's happened in Edmonton with them having 3 or 4 first overall picks the last few years. It doesn't automatically translate into success. So it's a bit of a process right now, but it's baby steps. And you look at Buffalo, I think they've improved a little bit this year. They're still not quite there. Same thing with Arizona. But don't get too excited. Even if we do get Austin Matthews in Toronto, it's going to still be a slow process to get to where they want to get to.
Well, the slow process is going to be 2 more games left this regular season. Holy mackerel, we got to be back at it tomorrow night as the Leafs take on the Philadelphia Flyers. What an important game that is for Philadelphia and Detroit and Boston. So we'll see what kind of Toronto Maple Leaf team shows up there. The ceremony continues in Edmonton. They're now interviewing John Shannon and Gene Principe, different Edmonton Oilers players, in the closing of Rexall Place. But to get back to the game, it was a 5-1 win for the Columbus Blue Jackets over the Toronto Maple Leafs. It was a Leaf goal by Morgan Rielly, then 5 unanswered goals by the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Jackets outshoot the Toronto Maple Leafs 32-27, but it was a ugly way to end the Toronto Maple Leafs home season. But there seems to be an acceptance that this kind of pain is going to mean some large gain down the road. Let's hope that is the case. 5-1, Columbus over Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll be back. We'll hear from Mike Babcock, head coach of the Leafs. We'll be joined by Chris Johnston as well. That's all coming up with Gord Stelick, Todd Olushko. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Absolutely free. It's your post-game workout. You're listening to Leafs Nation post-game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Brandon Saad brings it back the other way, and a goal scores! Broken up there, fed off on the right wing side, Dubinsky to the net, he scores! Scores! Oh my, off the face-off! Wrist shot into the chest of Sparks after a couple of good saves, the backhand scores! Trying to drive the net, Matt Culvert, spinning, still has it, centers a right shot, scores! And Dubinsky has made it 5-1.
Joe Bowen, he never gives it up. You get the big call from Joe Bowen throughout. And there he was, the collage of Columbus Blue Jacket action. A 5-1 win for the Columbus Blue Jackets over the Toronto Maple Leafs, wrapping up the home season. Gord Stelick, Todd Olushko, welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And talk about the game, talk about the season, talk about everything. Our man Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
It was like having things mercifully end. And I was saying the only upside was the last 2 years, this was unexpected. This year, we were able to brace ourselves for what was to happen or what they expected. And this week really is playing out the string.
Well, they've used up their free pass is kind of how I view it. I mean, the fans that were in the building tonight that stayed around till the end were pretty charitable, given the way this one ended up here tonight for the Leafs. And I think that this season, as you mentioned, Gord, was one that the fan base is ready for, the media, Mike Babcock, and, a lot of the players. I think everyone knew what was going on. But I would expect when we're having this conversation a year from now that they'll have to have made some progress or there'll be considerable unrest once again. So, for me, that was kind of the takeaway. There are some positives. I mean, they dropped down to 30th tonight, and at this point in the season, I don't think we can disguise the fact that's going to be a good thing, because I would be surprised if they're able to pull out of that position, meaning they've got a 20% chance of getting the number one overall pick, but also a 52% chance of at least getting one of the top three picks, which will help, with the rebuild that's going on here.
Chris, I mean, obviously a 5-1 loss, your last regular season game, you know, to the coaching staff and everyone else is very disappointing, but you're down there. What was the reaction like? I mean, you saw a couple of fans, like a couple of empty seats at the end of the game, but what was the reaction? Were people like really hanging their heads, or was it kind of like, yeah, you know, thank God it's over with? And at the end of the day, this was the best scenario that could have happened, was losing the game tonight.
Well, it was night and day, I'll tell you, Todd, from last year when we all remember what was going on throughout the year. But even at the end, there was booze and you know, really a negative feeling. And you know, obviously the result this year, the whole season really wasn't about any individual result in a game, I almost feel like. And as a matter of that, the fans that did stay around, there weren't a ton, but there was a little Go Leafs Go, and there was cheering, and some kids got to come on the ice and accept sticks from the players as sort of a gift at the end of the year. And there was still a surprisingly positive, I guess, feeling to the occasion, despite the score and the way things went. So, as I say, that to me, that's kind of the last free pass these guys are going to get in terms of, you know, having those expectations set so low and still, you know, being able to have that kind of game and not be, you know, booed and you know, have it become a negative thing. So, you know, I say kudos to the fans that have stuck with them and probably paid good money to be here tonight and still didn't express any displeasure, at least that I heard.
Well, and I just want to ask you about at the end of the game, because now it's funny, they started the season with a salute. I noticed some guys were ready to go off, and then they quickly, hurriedly got to center ice. It seems like, you know, correcting the salute snafu last year was huge. And then, okay, so when you say guys got sticks, like they used to do the sweater off the back thing, but that's kind of gone for the last few years, is it? So what exactly did they do postgame?
Yeah, they had kids. I'm not sure exactly how they were pulled out of the crowd, but it was all children that were out of the crowd. And each player, I guess, was assigned to a kid. And they all went over and actually, you know, talked to them. And I noticed some of them were autographing a personalized autograph on the blade of the sticks they gave away, and even posting for some selfie pics and things of that nature. So, you know, they were, you know, it was a nice moment, actually. It was good to see them, you know, even after that loss, stay out there and talk to the kids. And I'm sure some good memories were made on the ice for the ones that are left with a stick tonight.
Chris, you know, it's just a little bit of the game here tonight. You know, it's still got to be a little bit of a learning curve for the young guys. And I guess I'd say this is kind of still, it's somewhat of a luxury for Toronto to be in this position, to let guys learn a little bit more on the ice from their mistakes. Kasperi Kapanen basically has a turnover. I believe that was the second or third goal by Columbus. He turns the puck over by doing, you know, a little bit too much dipsy doodling at the Columbus blue line. They go back down, they counter and they score. You know, even though it happened that way, it's got to be a little bit of I don't want to say a good thing, but it kind of is, because it's a lesson learned in a situation where it's not a must-win game. I'm sure this is just a teaching moment for Mike Babcock.
It is, and you know, the one thing Mike Babcock said I thought was interesting is that he hopes a few of the young guys, as they head back to go to the Calder Cup playoffs in the AHL, are kind of reminded of how things can turn if you're not paying attention to those details. And, you know, it was the turnovers that really had the coach, you know, mad tonight, I think, that you know, especially as it got later in the game. I mean, there was a lot of good looks. I mean, Garrett Sparks, it didn't end up ending well for him, but he did actually make a couple of sharp saves, I thought, early in the third period. I mean, Columbus was getting some really good looks there. And you know, even the goals they did score, I mean, I think even the early one, Brendan Saad was in alone on his. I mean, this was not certainly the kind of defensive effort we've seen Toronto have a lot this year. And it's somewhat easy to forget that sometimes, that the team has had some really good stretches defensively, but everything came unglued tonight. And then, you know, it was as exasperated as I can remember Mike Babcock being, actually, in recent memory here with his post-game comments.
Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, joining Gord Stellick, Todd Alusco, Leafs Nation post-game, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, a 5-1 Columbus win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we've been making it a positive theme so far in the show. There's no point really talking about the game. And, okay, so let's look as the training camp. Let's look realistically. What have we learned? Who can play next year? Who's set? What's going on? Like, at what point would a draft pick play for the Leafs, and at what point would he not play for the Leafs? Meaning, would it only be Austin Matthews? I mean, lose a guy that doesn't like to rush guys generally. What are you seeing for next year as the next step goes?
Well, I mean, if they end up picking the top three, you know, I would think that it's very possible any of those picks, you know, whether they end up with one of the Finnish wingers, Patrick Laine or Jesse Puljujärvi, or Austin Matthews. Certainly, I mean, they all played professional hockey this year in Europe, and you know, are big physical players in terms of, you know, they're not in the Mitch Marner category, who still has some weight to put on, I think, and you know, wasn't really a factor in his first training camp last year. So there's a good chance to see one of them. I really do believe the lineup's going to look quite different, though. I mean, there's not room for all the veterans that are currently here, even those signed longer term. And, you know, I guess I think we'll know perhaps even a little bit more after the playoff run here for the Marlies, because while there's been some good, I mean, outside of, say, William Nylander, probably Zach Hyman, who had a really good run up here, I can't say for sure too many of these guys are going to be around. I really do believe that it's a tough thing to get a read on. I mean, I think we can pencil 39 in, and Nylander will be there, but for the rest, there's going to be some I guess heads to turn in the playoffs with the Marlies, which I know the organization is you know, putting a lot of emphasis on, and in training camp those battles will play out, because I really don't think that, you know, too many guys are going to have a position set you know, come September when they report for camp. And you know, this is part of it, is that they want an internal battle growing. And you know, right now I think that you can see that the makings of what's to come in that regard.
Chris, one of the positives that I like to, you know, like I said, this is, what is it? Today's Tuesday, Wednesday, positive Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
is to me, is still the one guy that stood out to me from the first day that he came here on the trade deadline, was Colin Greeny. He's got another year left in his contract. Has this guy done enough and solidified a spot for himself, whether it's a third or fourth line next year with this Toronto Maple Leaf club?
He's far more in the mix than I would have thought. You know, I kind of viewed him as just a throw-in contract at the time of that Dion Phaneuf trade, and I didn't expect him to be a contributor. In fact, he's put up better offensive numbers in a stretch of games here with the Leafs than he did in the American Hockey League, you know, which just shows you wouldn't expect it. And you know, I think that it's breathed a bit of new life into his career to get to somewhere where, you know, he doesn't feel as though a decision's already been made about him. He's obviously getting to play some good minutes with the way the Leafs lineup has been. And you know, he'll be in that mix, but I don't think we can say yet that it's a slam dunk. I mean, there's we know James Van Riemsdyk will be back, Tyler Bozak, Nazem Kadri. And there's a much more experienced lineup to be played here than we've seen down the stretch, just because of the serious number of injuries the Leafs have had. And you know, I think that Colin Greening will be in the conversation, but you know, I can't say for sure that he'll be there. You know, there might be other ways, I guess, if he's moved on to another organization or something of that nature, still yet for next year. I mean, really, let's face it, Lou Lamoriello has been on record saying 50-60% of the lineup he expects to be different. So sure. Once you get past the obvious guys, that doesn't leave many spots for those that we can say are back 100%.
So, Chris, you know, one last thing. I found something that I think is a positive on this season. You know, everyone was talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs, and this is, you know, obviously the 30th place right now. But at the end of the day, if you look at stats, the standings from last year, this Toronto Maple Leafs team has 67 points. Last year, a last-place team, who was the Buffalo Sabres, had 54 points. Arizona had 56. So as bad as the Leafs season was, it could have been a heck of a lot worse if you look at the stats where the last place teams were last year. So, yeah, not a great season, but things could have been a little bit worse. So that's my spin on it being not as bad as, you know, trying to stay somewhat positive.
Right. Well, and look, we haven't had many nights like this one. I mean, there's been a couple over 82 games, which I think even the good teams have, but they haven't been blown out almost at all. They've been in the games. They've fought hard. I don't think that any of us are left questioning the effort or the interest level of the players. And we couldn't say that last year. We really couldn't at times. And you know, that was something that Brendan Shanahan wanted fixed immediately. I mean, we knew that there would be a length of time before they're ready to compete, and still is. But you know, something like that, just being proud to wear the jersey and giving the right effort and working on your game, is something that can be fixed. And I think that, you know, for the large, by and large, it has been. I mean, what stood out about
the third period tonight is just, you know, that was relatively commonplace in the last couple seasons from time to time where, you know, especially the nights where we saw sweaters thrown on the ice and things like that. It was games that got away and 6-2 losses and things like that. Whereas, you know, this year that's an area that, you know, until tonight, we haven't seen very many of them. And I think that is a positive because almost every night the Leafs were playing tonight, they had less talent than their opposition on whole if you were to compare the rosters. And, you know, I still think they fought pretty hard to get what they could out of the year despite that.
Yeah, you know something, and just to look back, and I don't want to keep you much longer, but I think it's kind of a tribute to Leaf fans, and at least Leaf fans getting appreciated this year, that you think of 2012 was that Game 7, okay, which was unexpected, but, you know, that kind of emotional, incredible loss to have that loss to the Boston Bruins. I don't remember 2013 so much. It kind of just went off the track a bit.
I think 2013 was Game 7, right?
Well, was it 2011-12? They came back from, oh, wait a sec. No, 2012, wasn't it?
It's 2013 after the lockout season. 2012-13 was a lockout year.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so I got my bearings right then. Okay, so the lockout year, come back, and then you've got, yeah, because the year before, the 18-wheeler goes off the road. Okay, well, you go back to that. The 18-wheeler goes off the road or whatever it was with Brian Burke in 2012. 2013 is that lockout year, so I got my chronology right. Then 2014, if you remember, the last home game was against Winnipeg. And, I'm not a Dion Phaneuf basher at all, but you remember he just started talking about how they worked hard or something like that or, you know, whatever. And they got killed. They got killed, you know. And then last year was the Black Sunday where Brendan Shanahan, I mean, it just was a ridiculous finish. And then Brendan Shanahan fired, whatever, I think it was 18 people, whatever it may be. So, I mean, there's a lot of things. It's been incredible, dismal finishes. So to put it in context, this year is expected. This is what was promised. But wow, that's a big enchilada for any kind of fan base to swallow on so many years. And at least they're not taking the crap from guys like Phil Kessel last year, chastising people how badly they were treating Dion Phaneuf. It's been a pretty, pretty abominable run.
Well, it has. It's been dreadful. And you know, a lot of things reflect that. The TV ratings, you know, more empty seats than you normally see it. I mean, this is a fan base that obviously for 50 years has been tested. But, I mean, the last 5 years, I think, have been particularly difficult. And, you know, starting with that loss, because, you know, the hope had gone up a little bit when, obviously, they got in that first-round series with Boston and, you know, had a chance to win the Game 7. And you know, that's why next year, to me, will be very interesting. I know there's two road games here left. It's funny, you play the last game at home and you kind of feel a bit like the year's over. But, you know, I think next year will be interesting because they do have, you know, a little bit higher bar to clear. And you know, they're going to have to show some growth. And, you know, I really don't think the patience will be at the same level it was this year. But, you know, I've never seen anything like this in my years around the Leafs, just in terms of people, you know, fully, I think, you know, buying into the plan and dealing with, you know, what that meant at times, which, you know, wasn't always the best hockey games to watch and, you know, still standing behind the team. And, you know, we did see that here tonight, even on a tough evening for them at the Air Canada Center.
Johnny, last question for me is, you know, Toronto's got, okay, we got two games left. Are we done with any more call-ups? Is there anyone else that may get a token game in these last two games, or is it pretty much status quo from here on in?
I think the token game might be Leo Komarov coming back. He's going out on the trip, and obviously with just the game tomorrow in Philadelphia and it's Saturday in New Jersey, I wouldn't think that they were taking him unless they were reasonably sure he could get into at least one of those games. So, excuse me, I think that he'll be the guy returning, and probably as soon as possible they're going to want to return the players to the American Hockey League that are going to be part of that playoff run, and just to get their focus shifted and get their minds around what's going to happen there, because it's you know, it could be an important spring for this organization if they're able to blend everyone back in and have a long run down there. So I don't see any obvious call-ups. I mean, there's always a chance for an injury or something of that nature, but I really do think now it's more guys going the other way is the focus of the team.
Chris, appreciate it as always. Thanks very much for joining us.
No problem, guys. We'll talk soon.
That sounds good. Chris Johnston joining us for Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. Later on, too, we'll talk about the night that was in Edmonton, the closing of the Rexall Center. Nice seeing Mark Messier, Wayne Gretzky getting their picture taken with Connor McDavid. That's a neat little one that happened earlier, and we'll talk about the post-game ceremonies that went on there and the game on the ice, the Oilers at least ending it in fine fashion. But We talk about the head coach. We always hear from the head coach, Mike Babcock, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. To get back to the game, it was a 5-1 loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Here's Mike Babcock.
I felt like the game was winnable, maybe, until we won the second period. How did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think either team was very good in the first. You know, I thought we were in a good spot. You know, it's you turn pucks over, you know, play well without it, ends up in your net. And, you know, we had some guys that turned the puck over. We turned the puck over way too much tonight. You know, for the young guys that are going down to play in the Calder Cup Finals, it should be a real good reminder to them. You turn the puck over, you can't win. It's impossible. So, you know, message should be loud and clear.
A year ago, there were fans in Toronto throwing jerseys on the ice. Tonight, if you go, drop down to 30th, and with time running out, fans are still chanting, "Go Leafs, go!"
Well, they're being kind to us tonight, though. Let's not kid ourselves. If I was watching that game, no, I mean, there's lots of good things that are going on in the organization. I think we all know that. We've been watching it. But tonight wasn't one of those things, though. So let's not kid ourselves. That effort and the execution of that effort is not good enough. And it's unacceptable. And we've given lots of players in our organization opportunities to play. Some have said they want to be on the team, and some have said they're not going to be on the team and not going to be here. And that's just the way it is, and that's the business. And it's the hard part of the business, but everyone can't be on the team. But there's lots of really positive things that have gone on. I wouldn't call tonight one of them.
Mike, will Holland or Komarov go with you guys on the trip?
I think they're both coming. Or not Holland. Holland's not coming. And Leo is coming. And ideally, if we can get him in a game, we'll get him in a game.
Yeah, interesting there. You hear in Mike Babcock, and he, like a lot of fans, understands the rebuild or whatever you want to call it, but you can still hear he's pissed off. Like it's and when it's he wasn't here the last few years, so it's almost like the question I posed to Chris Johnson saying, like, it's absurd you're even posing the question that, like, you know, wow, at least the fans and the players didn't hate each other or whatever maybe at the end. And Mike Babcock just said, no, they're pretty charitable tonight.
Yeah.
This wasn't a game. We understand there's a rebuild, but this kind of game to be at it is not a game that you should be cheering the home team, even though a lot of Maple Leaf fans did cheer the home team.
No, 100%. I mean, I guess the question wasn't posed as a negative towards him. Just he was trying to make a point to him. Mike Babcock's is from Detroit. He's not used to any of this stuff, and this is all news to him, and he hates it, and he never wants to go through this again. But I think the point is valid that every single, you know, the question was posed. You know, they're not booing you right now. The question basically was saying they've all bought in and they understand where you said it was going to be a difficult year. It is. They've achieved the position where you thought you were going to be without any miracle runs at the very end. You're going to get a good draft pick and go from there. But it's really difficult for a coach like Mike Babcock to accept. This guy's all about winning, and it's fans. You don't want to see these guys lose. But the situation is what it is. I mean, right now, this is going to give them the best opportunity to try to rebuild this team at a little bit quicker pace by getting a better player in the draft. And on a side note, Gord, it's kind of interesting. The Toronto Maple Leafs still do not have, and it's interesting because he said Leo may make a return. The Leafs still do not have a 20-goal score this season. P.A. Parento's got 19, and so does Leo Komarov at 19. They got two games to get to 20 because the last time the Leafs had not had a 20-goal score in their lineup was in 1938-1939. Gord Drillin was the guy they had back then, didn't have back then. As a goal scorer. That was the last one. Anyways,
you get my point.
Back
in that era.
It's been a long time. So that's the one caveat maybe that they want to try to get to. One of those two guys try to get that 20th goal of the season so they don't set another record. But we'll see.
You talked about it earlier. Another standard about the kind of game it was. Look at the officials. So Brian Pucmera, then a referee, Garrett Rank. Never heard of him. So they give the young guys a chance. Linesman, Tony Cercola, heard of him a bit. Devin Berg, never heard of him. That's not a knock. I'm just saying they give some of the younger officials a chance to get some NHL games in because the officials in the American Hockey League are considered NHL trainees, so they're paid that way. So you try to find some of them that are worth it, you've deemed worthy, some games at the end of the season, and that's what they've deemed. But you pick the games. Like they're not tonight doing Detroit, Philadelphia.
Of course not.
For example. So anyway, it gives you a tale of what has been going on. Hear from some of the players involved in tonight's game. You know, it's funny, just looking at the stats, I don't even know what it matters, but just, you know, from the one game, But Tyler Bozak was a minus one, played 17 minutes, 35 seconds. He had one shot on net. And I imagine talking, it's not so much about the game, but about the season. Here's Maple Leaf Tyler Bozak.
Right through the end, I could hear people yelling, "Go Leafs, go." It was such a different atmosphere than last season when people were tossing jerseys on the ice, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, we didn't put in a good enough effort to deserve that tonight, that's for sure. But it was nice to hear. I think people are excited about the future, and they see a lot of talent and what these young guys can do. So it was nice of them to do that for us.
Felt like the game was within reach, at least till midway through the second. What happened?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought, I thought we played pretty good at early and got out to a lead, and a couple turnovers that we don't need to make led to a couple goals, and then I just didn't think we didn't compete hard enough, and we didn't score on our opportunities.
There's a little bit there we hear from Tyler Bozak, and by the way, Garrett Rank, there you go, our man Emil just says he was a golfer, like a pretty good golfer in that, so which goes synonymous hand in hand with hockey, and just chatting about him being an NHL referee trainee getting the game tonight. So, Tyler Bozak, I don't know, do you have anything to comment about Tyler Bozak's comments?
He's just, he's written off the season as well. They're all, I think every single, especially the veterans, they've written it off. Whatever the two games hold from here on in, it's all about focusing next year and channeling their energy on coming back and having a better season. And he says, the fans gave him a little bit of applause. They didn't deserve it. But again, Tyler Bozak, as the fans are, I think they're looking towards next year. And, hope. That's the one thing that you have as a Toronto Maple Leaf fan is hope. And I think Tyler Bozak, he reiterates it with everyone else. Hey, give us a chance. We'll see what happens next year. Let's move forward. The season's done.
Guy, you were talking about Morgan Rielly and what's not to talk about, what's not to like. He scores the lone Toronto goal tonight, plays 21 minutes and 3 seconds. He is two shots on net. Here he is. Talking, Morgan Rielly talking about tonight's game.
And like just on the ice afterwards, when you guys salute them, it's a tough game, but you're still out there, the kids come out.
Yeah, it's nice when the kids come out and you're able to give them a stick or something, give them a salute. I think that they deserved it. They were very good all year to us. They, treated us with our respect, a lot of support there. So I think that, the least we could do is a salute. And, moving forward, I think that we're very lucky to have the fans we do. They're very, supportive, very encouraging. So, we're very appreciative of that, and that's all that was.
Here's Morgan Rielly chatting about tonight's game. Well, that was it. It was a 5-1 win for the Columbus Blue Jackets over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stella, Todd Alusco on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.